Here's Haddon for the win from the corner. He got it. Marcus Howard with the dish to Aiden Haddon, and Marquette is heading to the Final Four.
All right, Sean Morash is here, recurring guest. Since we've had him on last, things have taken off. He's been my former boss, producer on the DA show nationally on CBS Sports Radio, host on WFAN in New York, and he's the host of the One Giant Step podcast. His reaction video to the Giants' Week 1 win has almost 2 million views now across all the social platforms. We'll insert it here.
Holy fucking shit, my eye! Finally, we're gonna fucking open it! Holy God! Let's fucking go!
He does a million other things. Mraz, how you been?
It's been a year, man. It's been a year, Aiden. What's going on, man? Games and grub. We're still going with games and grub, right?
Yes. So that was actually last time you came on. You know what? I'll fast forward to this anyways. Last time you were on, yeah, we made fun of how amateur of a cook I was in college, and you gave us a legendary drop, quote.
Hey, what are we calling this? Grubs and games? Games and grubs?
Games and grubs.
So, games and grubs. All right.
Grubs and games, games and grub. So, I guess
back,
we'll
man.
Put
Have
that...
you grown up as a cook, though? Did anybody get you a skillet yet? What are we doing?
Yeah, so now that we have a better cooking setup in my latest abode, besides the college house, doing a little better. Like, is it
okay.
Last time I think it was, gosh, that was a year and a half. We were boiling pasta. Now we're doing a little bit more. So,
yeah, you can actually cook the ingredients to go in a hot pocket, not just the hot pocket in general. So, that's a good start.
Exactly. So, we can transition that perfectly into your weekly column at CBSSportsRadio.com, one of the many things you do for your football picks. And obviously the weekly football food of the week. Last time you were on, we talked all about all of my struggles with cooking. But we can talk football food now. What have been your go-tos this year, and what are you excited to try next?
Well, what's good about it, there's two answers to that. Number one, the column up the gut at CBSSportsRadio.com. So many now of my submissions, because this thing has taken off, it's like the ninth year I'm doing it, have been listener suggestions, which I really like, because when we're doing a show nationally, you know, I can get caught in kind of the same old, right? Like, what are people on Long Island, New York cooking? And then you realize, you know, somebody's got a twist on wings from Mississippi. Somebody's got a different dip they're trying in Idaho. So that's been cool that I've been getting listener submissions. So it's kind of a two-part answer. There have been a lot of go-tos that listeners have given that I've combed through and said, oh, this looks good. So I throw it out to our listeners. But as far as what I've been eating on another level football wise, first let me just tell you, this past week was the first time I've done in years the true full breakfast spread, because the Giants played in London, and very rarely do you do, and I guess people on the West Coast do, eggs, pancakes, bagels. Dude, I smashed two egg sandwiches this week on everything bagels, the bacon, the eggs, the sausage. We actually had a guy come over who's my sister's friend who works for IHOP. So he had IHOP pancake batter,
really?
IHOP sausages. You know, IHOP has those thin sausages. So we're making them on my dad's outside griddle. So that was a really cool go-to. And it kind of made me think I should be doing more brunch foods during the early games, even for 1 o'clock, because I think there's space for it. Now, that being said, when your team's winning and you're pumping mimosas down your throat and that orange juice starts burning, it's kind of a bad mix. So that was a good go-to. And honestly, man, one thing I've been all over, my sister about a year ago came up with this recipe, or somebody passed it along to her, BLT dip. Now, as you know, the dips can be very a hot button issue on the DA show. But look, Aiden, you're old enough to have seen the evolution. There was a time growing up where taco dip wasn't a thing. Now, you go anywhere in any part of this country, people do the chili with the cheese and the sour cream or cream cheese, whatever. That's very popular. Buffalo chicken dip has taken off. The BLT dip is kind of, you know, cream cheese based, similar to those, and then with the cheese melted on top of it. But instead of going with the buffalo chicken or the true chili, like a taco dip, this has lettuce, tomato, and chopped up bacon within that cream cheese and cheese dip blessing. And that's been basically on the table for every Giant game. And that has become a real crowd pleaser.
That's really interesting. No one knows the food timelines more than you. Like you just said, there was an era of the taco dip. There's an era of the French onion dip. There's going to be an era of all the sauces and all the condiments.
Dude, my wife, I can't. Last week we went out to pizza and she can't stand when I do this too. I do this oftentimes when we're at a pizza counter. Now, this may be very New York-y, but Boston is similar in the Northeast in that when I was a kid, and now I'm 35, so what am I, 10 years, 15 years older than you, whatever it may be.
Yeah,
when I was a kid,
22.
Okay, so I'm 13 years older than. But when I was a kid, 8, 7, 9 years old, my parents would bring me to a pizzeria, right? You had a regular cheese slice. You had a pepperoni slice. They had what was called a Sicilian slice. It was like a thicker square. And if you were real lucky, you found a place that had sausage and meatballs. Like, real lucky, you're like, okay, wow, that's a cool slice. The evolution, like, this is what I'm talking about, timelines. You can't go to a pizzeria, buffalo chicken, chicken franchise. I got a place by me that does French fry bacon pizza. So, like, the food game has evolved, dude, and I will always know the errors of when what was what. And I say it every time I go to pizzeria, like, will you shut up? I understand that we were kids. We couldn't get this stuff.
You're absolutely right. Times are changing. And for those that don't know the Bob's Bar background, can you briefly describe the origin story of, you know, your dad's backyard accompanied by, you know, the Giants' positivity after, say, a game like Sunday in London against the Packers?
Well, really, this was kind of a combo trend of a few years ago during nice weather. I guess, you know, we might be going back like 10 years. Nice weather, summertime, Yankee games. Forever, it would be out in the pool, you know, Yankee game on the radio, blah, blah, blah. Then it got to like big night games. And I was like, Dad, I'm going to wire. I, you know, kind of taught him, you know, as a teenager, I'm like, I can wire this. We're going to bring a TV outside. Let's set up like the lawn chairs. Let's watch it outside. And that, like, you know, my dad's born in 1960. He's not that old, but that like blew his mind. He's got TV outside. This doesn't even make sense. So we would do that on special occasions. Yankee Red Sox game on a Friday night, something like that. Then maybe a September Giant game. It was like, wow, this is nice. It's nice out. You don't feel like you're crammed inside. And the real key to that, Aiden, my parents, my whole life when I grew up, did not have air conditioning. I now, thankfully, I got that DA money. I got central air in my house. But growing up, I didn't have air conditioning. So like on those hot days, you didn't want to be crammed in my parents' den watching a big game. You wanted to be outside, at least a little fresh air on you. So that was kind of the origin of the whole deal. So anyway, long story longer, we did that. My parents, you know, over the years paid off their house or whatever. My dad, you know, getting near retirement, was like, man, everybody's always hanging out here. Whenever we bring a TV outside, I want to build a bar back here. I want to have a bar. I want to have a place where everybody can kind of hang out. He goes, we're always out here anyway. It'll save us money for how many times we go out to Buffalo Wild Wings or whatever. So hired a contractor. Built the bar, got the whole gazebo hung the TV, and then it kind of became like this neighborhood thing where everybody couldn't believe there was a backyard bar in the neighborhood. The neighbors would come over, everybody would bring cases, but then it would start, you know, we had this beer, we had that beer, shots would start getting poured, big game events would happen, then we'd start bringing more TVs outside for football days, and now it's become a thing, like, I built one in my backyard. I live a couple towns over in what's called Bayshore, so I call it Bob's by the Bay. And these backyard bars really took off in the pandemic. My dad was kind of ahead of the curve because when bars weren't open, people were like, well, I want to make the best of my backyard. And now they're very popular on Long Island, but Bob's Bar is like the OG original. So with that, it's a gathering place for Giant games. And since Bob Bar's open, the Giants have not been good. I mean, it was like 2018, I think. So the Giants have been really bad in those times. So now, I mean, you get a day like you just had Sunday where the Giants are shockingly good this year. And people are just down in drinks going, well, this is awesome. We're no longer watching games that they're losing 35-10. They're beating Aaron Rodgers at Bob's Bar. And it's just like the best day ever.
Beating Aaron Rodgers at Bob's Bar is a sentence that you've probably
never heard.
Let's go back to that Ring camera viral clip that takes off in week 1. What does your life look like that night and the accompanying morning?
So that's a great, that ties into Bob's Bar, Aiden. And that, I want to make something very clear because with anything, I'm shocked that that video took off in the way it did. I kind of thought everybody would have fun with it on the show when I got it from my wife and I put it up. I didn't expect it to take off. You know, it was on SportsCenter and all that stuff. There were a lot of people who don't know me, who were like, oh, he's staring right at the camera. He staged that. Number one, you don't know me as a fan if you think he staged that, but I will tell you why I acted that way. It was the first opening day I didn't get to watch with my father. That was like a really big deal to me. And it wasn't because of anything else. I have two kids now. And one of my kids came down with the flu, like tested positive with the flu. My dad was still recovering from a hip replacement surgery. So my mom was kind of like, hey, just for this week, why don't you kind of hang back home? And knowing that what we just went through with the pandemic, you know, my parents were in their 60s, fine. I'm not going to spread the flu around. I didn't have it, but my daughter had it. So I had to watch opening day by myself. Think about this. I'm 35. That's like a tradition. I have my dad, my sisters. That's our thing, right? We watch the Giants together. So I was kind of upset about it. So I sit down, I watch it football. It's kind of a pain in the neck day, right? Like, you know, my kids are very whiny because there's sickness going on in the house. My wife's kind of agitated because she's been up all night. I'm just trying to watch week one football, Aiden, and the Giants are the late window game. So now the Giants are playing, they're down 13-0, and I'm rattling off tweets because I'm not talking to anybody. I'm like, this sucks. They suck again.
Against
blah, blah,
Matt
blah.
Rule's Panthers.
No, this is the Titans. The Titans.
Oh, the Titans.
Panthers were week two. This is Panthers the big deal. Two. They're playing the Titans. Remember, now the Giants have beaten the two top seeds in the league last year. So they're down 13-0 to Titans. I'm just pissed off. I'm like, this sucks. I'm not even like with my fan. Like, you know, I'm with my family, but I'm not with, you know, like my Giants, you know, watching crew. Then they take off and they start mounting the comeback. And Saquon's running. And I'm sitting there. My daughter Taylor is with me. She's slapping shit. She's into like that. I'm getting excited. And there's just this vibe of like pent up emotion. And it's the first day of the Dable era. It was like this FU from Barkley and Jones late to all the haters. And they win the game. And at that point, my other kid who was sick too, had gone to bed at 6:30 at night. So this game ended about 7:15, 7:30. So where I am, I'm in like a basement of a 2-floor house. So I'm screaming and yelling and doing it. But like, I had all this pent up emotion of, I can't believe what I just saw. I missed opening day with my dad. This is like the most incredible opening day we've had. I get emotional in my sports, man. Like, I connect my sports fandom with like, you know, memories and stuff like that. And it was just like, I was so frustrated all day, and it just, I let it out. I ran outside. I just couldn't believe that they never win openers. The Giants have won like one opener in the last 10 years. So that was huge too. It was like, holy crap, we may have a season here. And that's where I was like, holy bleep and bleep, finally, whatever I'm yelling at the thing. So long story longer, immediately after yelling that, I come downstairs and WFAN likes me filming reaction videos to big moments. I got to get more on it. I got to be honest with you. So I film one and I'm like, this is just, you know, unbelievable. I mean, you know, I'm doing this whole thing and that video, I'm like, ah, oh, it's kind of funny. I'm breaking down in tears. I'm so emotional. And it's about, so I tweet that video out and it has a bunch of views or whatever. And I figure those guys will get a kick at it. But I was just, that was my real time reaction. 2 hours later, my wife, who was laying in bed at the time, because she gets all the Ring alerts to her phone. I don't have the app or anything. She texts my dad and my sisters, goes, look what your idiot brother, your idiot son was acting like after you guys won or whatever. They have the video. They send it back to like, Sean, this is how we were after the game. And I'm like, oh, that was funny. I'm watching the video. I'm like, wow, I just look like a fat emotional mess. Because at that point, by the time Aiden and I got in the video, I decompressed, right? It's a couple hours later. So like, this is funny. I'm going to tweet the video out. I'm sure DA and the guys are going to kick at it. The Sunday night game's going on. It's going on. And I keep looking at my phone and I'm like, 750,000 views. Like, I couldn't believe the tweets that had taken off. The video was insanity. So that was kind of just the evolution of it. It was, people have asked, do I really act like that? Yes, I really act like that, but it was with a caveat. It was just like an emotional day. And I experienced this crazy comeback and didn't get to do it on a day where I always watch these games with my father. And now I wasn't watching with him. It just, the whole day rolled into one.
It's just remarkable. And having said all that, is there any science to going viral?
Whew. It's a good question because I have gone viral twice. And I want to act like I'm some kind of like genius that's figured out social media. But the truth is I'm not. I'm not on Snapchat.
You're referencing the Jeter stuff?
Yeah. Okay, so yeah. For those who don't know, when Derek Jeter retired, I had a similar moment. And it tied into the past. I'm very big on the passage of time. Like athletes retiring, big games. I have like this photographic memory. And it's kind of like about like where I was, what I was doing. And you kind of look back.
Time.
Yes. I don't know what it is triggering me, but I'm a passage of time guy. So that when Jeter retired and I kind of look back, I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe these 20 years are gone. Look where I am now. And that caused me to cry. But I don't know, man. Like, I'm not, again, social media wise, I'm on Instagram, on Twitter, I'm on Facebook. I'm not on anything else. So I can't act like I figured out how to be like some kind of TikTok sensation. I don't know. I think that people connect. I think things happen viral for two reasons. Number one, people can't believe insanity, or people are connecting with something that like basically nobody would believe they're acting like too. And I think truthfully that Ring video, the reason it went viral had more to do with Giant fans than it did non-Giant fans, because I couldn't believe how many people kept quote tweeting and going, this was me, this was me, this was me. And I just think if you hit one of those two things, either it's insanity where people can't believe you're an idiot, or I connect so much with this moment that I'm sharing this because this felt me. I think that maybe is the key, but a lot of it's just crazy luck, man. I don't know. I can't explain it. I never tweeted that video expecting viralness. I tweeted that video expecting a couple laughs, Giant fans to like it, and everybody be in a let's go mood. I didn't wake up expecting what I expected that day.
Yeah, you're right. It's probably a mix of both. And, yeah, you know, that ring camera video, it's filmed. You're from Long Island, spend every workday in Manhattan. You know, the Mets were just eliminated from the baseball playoffs, but the Yankees runs.
Yeah,
that's a shame. Yankees run starts tonight. Aaron Judge chased a 62, kind of captured America's attention, especially on those college football Saturdays.
Yeah.
hey, the Jets not and Giants, like you said, a lot of optimism. You're ready for a title contending Rangers year.
It's crazy. I'm a Net fan. The Nets are behind everybody back.
I didn't even write that. Yeah. Can you describe the sports buzz in New York City?
It's crazy right now. It is bananas right now. But it's really unique, man. Like, you grew up in Boston, so obviously everybody really rallies around, you know, the Red Sox, the Patriots, the Celtics, the Bruins. And you get the rare cities like Chicago, New York, LA sort of, where you have the multiple team towns, where it's this unique scenario where the whole town could be on fire at one point, but the other half of the town can't stand the fire at the same time. So there's serious buzz, but there's also serious depression at the same time. It's just a real feeling because there was so much hype around the Mets. And I think there were a lot of Met fans, even with the other teams in town, that were like, this is the team that is going to break this city's drought. For those who don't know, the last parade, now nobody wants to hear this in Detroit, but the last parade that New Yorkers had for a sports team was actually the 2011 Giants, the second team that beat the Pats. So we're talking about 11 years. The Rangers have made a cup and the Mets have made a World Series since the Yankees, not since 09. So for New Yorkers, when you consider you've doubled the amount of teams, and in hockey's case, tripled the amount of teams in town, well, you start playing the odds. That's a long time to go without, you know, a championship. 11 years, a long time for New Yorkers when you have that many teams. So the buzz right now is like, the Rangers just had this run out of nowhere and they're a serious cup favorite. They made the Eastern Conference final a year ago. You had these two baseball teams where people were talking Subway Series all year. Now the Aaron Judge breaks the Maris record to get the Yankees rolling. And suddenly you look up and the also-rans of the whole town were the football teams. And you got Zach Wilson coming back at the Jets at 3-2. And this Giant team hires this Brian Daboll after bad coach to bad coach. And you look up and the guy who everybody killed as a draft pick, Saquon Barkley, could be the MVP of the NFL through this point. And you're suddenly like, wait a minute, both baseball teams made the playoffs. The football teams now both could be in the playoffs. Where the main hockey team in town, forget the playoffs, actually might be the team that everybody nationally and in Canada is picking to win a Stanley Cup. It's almost like overload. We went from having nothing to feeling like we're on the verge of having everything, and the town is ready to burst, and it seems. But at the same time, the first domino fell with the Mets elimination. So these people just ultra depressed and don't want to hear the Yankee fans and the football fans right now all revved up.
Especially with a few members of the DA show.
Yeah, I feel bad for those. That's a shame. You know, you go through that whole year. DA spends all those money on tickets. That's tough. That's tough.
We had DA on as a guest for our Halloween show last year, and his most famous tirade was the one against hard seltzer. He hates White Claw. He hates all the sugary flavors. He just wants to drink a beer.
There's no sugar in them. The dope doesn't understand there's not sugar in White Claws. They're not a sugary drink.
So I know the answer already, having known you, but what's your response to that drinking trend?
I am not anti-alcohol. So that's where the line is first. I hate snobby alcohol people, right? For as far as I'm concerned, I could sit down at a bar, the backyard bar, Bob's by the Bay, Bob's bar, go out to a regular bar. I could have a pint of the greatest craft beer you could have, and the person next to me could be drinking a Twisted Tea. I'm not looking at that person thinking they're lesser than because they're doing it. They're enjoying a drink. They're living their life. They're taking an edge off. Who cares what people are drinking? And you know what? As far as the White Claw thing goes, they're not sugary drinks. They were meant to kind of get rid of that bloated feeling that people have from drinking beer. And a lot of people have taken them. I was skeptical when they first came. Like, what is this? I like them now. They're a good change of pace. And by the way, not to sound like a true fatty, but if I'm pounding beers on a Friday night and I got to get back on the horse and I have an event, you know, Saturday where socially I'm drinking, I'd rather have the seltzers or the claws the next day because then I'm not doing back-to-back beer days.
All right. There is your full response because that's a polarizing one with our audience, co-hosts, guests. Obviously,
I don't get it. How could you be, if you like alcohol, and this is not meant to be like an alcoholic wave the banner. If you just like drink. You know what I mean? You like having your beers socially.
Right.
How could you Like, why judge somebody else? And by the way, look at the alcohol content. It's not like somebody's having a 2.5 versus a 5.0. For the most part, you know, all those people that love Bud Light or whatever the beer, it's the same alcohol you get in a White Claw. So what are you talking about? You're not more macho for doing that.
It's all right. Last few for you, Sean. Okay. It's we won't talk about it. Like we said, we're not a booze podcast.
It's games and grub.
Yeah, it's games and grub. There's a reason. Yeah, see, there's a reason why the liquid version of grub is not in the name. Couple rapid fire ones for you. It's a popular question, but is October the best month to be a sports fan?
Yes. I'm gonna say no. Actually, hold on. I'm going to say no for a reason that I wouldn't have said 10 years ago. The worst sports month, the greatest sports month, I actually think is January, because you get the college football playoffs championship and you get all the NFL playoffs, and the buildup all week, I think, is insane, with football being the number one in town. I love it. I also think April, May, the sign of good weather, really good too. I used to be October's the best sports month. The truth is, October is the busiest sports month. Therefore, it's one of the worst sports months. And what I mean by that is, am I really excited and into this? This is awesome, right? Like, the baseball playoffs, baseball at its best, I love it in the postseason. I love the dawning of a new day in the NHL and NBA. And, you know, even if you're not the biggest diehard, you know, those opening nights, the teams come back, reconnect with the communities, get the introductions, everything. I love all the pomp and circumstance with that. And then, of course, football starts to get contender versus pretender in college and the NFL. So it is undoubtedly this hectic month with so much going on, where whatever you like, you're going to find in October. So many would call it the greatest sports month. The truth is, as I get older and I have kids and things are busy and I have to get up, you know, early in the morning, it is the most exhausting month of the year. Exhausting. I barely have time to sleep. You know, those days during football season, you stay up late Monday night, Thursday night, you have the weekends. Well, now those gaps are filled with baseball playoffs. Maybe you want to watch a hockey game or a basketball game with your favorite team. You know, and then, you know, we can be the biggest sports fan in the world. Every once in a while, you need to watch a Dateline documentary and break away for a little bit. There's just no time for that in October. So it is the busiest sports time. It can be so awesome, and I love it, and it gets me really excited, and I love being in sports radio in October, but it's not the best because I'm so damn tired the whole month.
Yeah, maybe a non-morning radio host would have a different opinion.
Aiden, again, this goes back. We've mentioned my father a lot on this. There were times... I never understood it, right? Because I grew up in an era where the Yankees were always in the World Series, right? Like, I was like, I'm a kid. They're constantly really good. And my dad would be so into the games, but so, like, miserable the next day. And then, like, those off nights where there'd be, like, a decent Monday night football game. And what do I know, right? I'm 13 years old. I could stay up till whenever. Dad, yeah, it's halftime. You're going to see Cowboys playing the Eagles right now. He's like, I can't deal with this. I got to go to bed. And I never understood as a kid. I'm like, Dad, like, this is so disappointing, Dad. You don't want to watch these games. I've never related to it more. Like, Thursday, I'm already looking ahead. We're taping this on a Tuesday, so I don't know whenever you're dropping this, but I will tell you, Thursday night is a Commanders Bears Thursday night game. Now, I could tell you that I take pride, as does the A, watching the games and waking up early. The Yankees are also due to play Thursday. I've never rooted for a rainout so hard in my life. That is a Thursday night game. I could go to bed at halftime, and I could totally talk about it the next day or whatever we're doing. It's not going to be a main thing. Though, when you got these good games, man, at some point you got to get some damn sleep. And I can't come home and sleep 3-4 hours. I got two kids running around. It's tough, man. So no, it is not. When you get to a certain point in life, it is no longer the best sports month. It's fun. It's energetic, but it is so damn tiring.
You know what? I'm going to wrap that up with, excuse me, the theme of the passage of time, which it seems like what your life kind of rolls around. It's crazy how you say that, because I was listening to you back before you had two kids, let alone one. And then I go to having been your intern.
Yeah.
Now, man, to this point, it's crazy how time moves. Last question. How has that DA show been since your favorite intern left?
We've been humming along, man. I actually felt a lot of pressure this summer. I don't know if you obviously saw, I had to reach out to you. You would, done an extremely good job. I think you did a banner job in organizing what was called the Sounds of Saturday, getting every play-by-play voice on from what we considered the top 25. And DA wanted to go back and do this here a year later after you had been gone. And obviously, as the producer, it was my job to go book the guests. Knowing an intern had essentially done the job, organized and booked all the guests, you put a lot of pressure on me. I couldn't come up short. I had to, if I came up short, it was going to be, can you believe you couldn't get the job done getting paid the money you're making and he got the job done. So it's been good. The show's been rolling along. Obviously some of the jobs that DA had you do that, you know, we hadn't done early, permission granted podcast editing and certain stuff, going back in certain clips. Since you've left, I've actually had slightly more work added to my schedule because you had created, in many ways, new roles, new opportunities, new avenues that we hadn't already done, and we couldn't just stop them when you left. So I guess my answer would be screw you, because now I have more work. But ultimately, no, the show's been great.
Well, I appreciate it, sarcastic or not. enjoy a good seltzer with the Yankees and Rangers tonight. As always, I appreciate you, and we'll have to on you. Have to have you on again soon, man.
All right. Enjoy Games and Grub. Take care, everyone.
This has been Games and Grub.